A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, and the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they cried, and they cried out in fear. And Jesus once spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, the Gospel today obviously teaches us that we have to have faith in the midst of the storms, you know, and be at peace. I was thinking about this the other night. We were flying back into New York from a conference in Houston, and got almost all the way here, and then they said, "Well, you know, there's storms popping up in the New York area, so we're going to have to put you into a holding pattern." And so we flew around like that for a while, and then the pilot came on and said, "We're running out of fuel, so we have to land in Boston," right? So we headed to Boston, you know, and landed there, and I'm thinking to myself, and everybody's hot and sweaty on the plane, and we're all, you know, deciding whether we're going to complain and grumble and so on. And, you know, just as that, you know, the person sitting next to me, she says, "You can't complain. Look what you're reading." And I was reading a book about all the priests, 2,600 priests who were interned in the concentration camp at Dachau in World War II, and how they were suffering and how they were treated even worse than the Jewish people there and so on. And I said, "Yeah, I guess I don't have much to complain about, no?" You know, and yeah, we get those storms in our life, and our first reaction is, "Poor me, you know, why me?" And sometimes they're just opportunities for us to surrender to the will of God and do our small part in adding to the sufferings of Jesus on the cross by participating in that same suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Because that's where all the grace and power comes from, is uniting ourselves to the cross of Jesus. And so that was a good wake-up for me. Oh, next time you're thinking about complaining, pick up this book, Christ in Dachau. Pretty horrible. They had it a lot worse. But in another way, today we have these two readings, the first and the third reading, the Gospel and the reading from the Book of Kings. They kind of go hand-in-hand in a way, even though the first reading is about Elijah the prophet, and he's running away. They're pursuing him. They're going to kill him. And he takes refuge in a cave. And while he's in the cave, a huge storm goes by, and then an earthquake, and then fire comes across the land. And it says, God was not in the fire, the earthquake, or the storm. And then just that still, small voice that he hears, and he covers his head to listen for God, right? That's what the reading was today, but it doesn't make a lot of sense if you don't know what came before and what came after. You remember Elijah had that big showdown with all the false prophets. It was at a time when the kingdom of Israel was falling apart. All the leaders and the rulers, they were unfaithful to the covenant, and the people had become decadent and corrupt, and there was hardly anybody really faithful. in all of Israel. And God was allowing that to run its course, because when we're unfaithful to God, yeah, we're going to suffer, right? We're going to suffer the consequences of our actions and our decisions and our choices. And he sent Elijah the prophet to speak the truth of the covenant to the people again and bring them back. And so Elijah has this big standoff with all the false prophets. There were 450 false prophets who were worshiping to Baal, the false god. So he challenges them to a showdown. And the prophets of Baal have to offer up a sacrifice to Baal. And it's got to be burnt up, and Baal's got to show his power. And the 450 false prophets, they're dancing around and chanting and calling upon Baal. And Elijah's just loving it, and he's saying, hey, shout a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. You know, maybe your God is on vacation. You know, maybe shout a little bit louder. And nothing happens, right, of course, because there's no God Baal. And so then Elijah sets up his sacrifice on the altar. And just to show the power of Yahweh, he soaks the whole sacrifice in water and puts a moat, you know. And then he calls upon God, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. And so Elijah is shown to be the true prophet of the true God. Right? And so then Elijah goes and has all the false prophets executed in the river. And, well, seems like a happy ending to the story, right? Israel's comes back to the faith, and they throw out all the false gods. Not so fast. The evil queen Jezebel says that she's going to do the same thing to Elijah by tomorrow. So Elijah goes running away, and he goes for 40 days and 40 nights, and he comes to the mountain of Horeb, where Moses first heard God. And all that time he's despairing, practically. No, because where is God? I did everything he wanted me to do, and nothing worked out. They're hunting me down. And so he's in this cave, and he hears this still, small voice, because he's listening for God to speak. But he doesn't speak in the storm, and he doesn't speak in the earthquake, and he doesn't speak in the big, huge events. He speaks to his heart, because he's ready to listen after all those trials. And then God speaks to him. What he says is that I will save a remnant of the people Israel. There'll be 7,000 who stay faithful. And now you go and you anoint the new leaders of Israel, and we'll start again. God renews the covenant despite all the infidelity, all the sin, all the corruption. And the prophet had to go through the storm. No. That's the way it is in our lives sometimes too. We go through a storm, and we can spend our time complaining, oh, poor me. But at the end of the storm, if we're listening, God will tell us what he wants us to hear. And God will never be unfaithful to us. God will never abandon the covenant. God has steadfast love that lasts forever. And then the other flip side of the coin, I think, is this gospel today about Jesus walking on the water. Sometimes we're so fixated on Jesus walking on the water. That's so cool. You know. But then I just saw on social media the other day, they made these things that are like slippers you put on, and they're full of air, and they got motors. And so anybody can walk on the water. You see these things? They're like little jet skis, you know, but they're like, you fill them up with air, and then they go, psh, and you can just slide across the lake. So maybe walking on the water is not that big a deal, but all the rest of it is. Remember the gospel we read last week was just before this in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus feeds the 5,000 men, and then another 15,000 women and children probably. Right? He shows that there's no need for the people to go away from Jesus, because he can meet every need that they have. He can be the bread of life for us all. The Eucharist, it's all the symbolic of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the bread of life, right? It's what feeds our souls. And Jesus provides that. Then he goes up to the mountain to pray, to listen for the voice of the Father. You know, it's a reminder to us that amidst all the storms, we have to get that silence and that time to listen. Because sometimes all we do is talk at God, give me this, give me that, I got this problem, I got that problem. But we also need to listen to him. And so Jesus does that regularly in the Gospels. He's always going off to a deserted place to pray. And if Jesus, the Son of God, had to stop and pray and listen to the Father, how much more us? And then Jesus comes out walking on the water, and the disciples are still in the storm, right? The winds have blown up, and they're afraid of dying, and they're crying out. And then Jesus summons Peter. And as long as Peter has his eyes fixed on Jesus, he's doing fine. He can walk on the water. But then it says that Peter began to look at the storm and the winds and the wave. Yeah, the world around us seems tumultuous and turbulent and much more powerful than we are. And we get afraid. Jesus says, do not be afraid. As long as we've got our attention fixed on Christ, as long as he's the center of our life, as long as we're listening for him, the storm cannot overcome us. No power on earth can overcome us. Yeah, we may suffer, we may be in danger like Elijah, running for his life 40 days and 40 nights. But God will come through. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He doubted because he took his eyes off Christ. So all of us, let's make sure we always keep our focus on Jesus Christ, that we're always listening for that still small voice who will tell us the truth amidst all the lies that the world tells us. Christ will always be faithful.